called. Don't despair, be not afraid. Intercession has been made. And today I'm glad to say he's on his throne. He's on his throne. With his mighty power exalted and redeemed. His hand great joy he holds. Intercession has been made, and today I'm glad to say.
get left behind. Don't let me lose out. Don't let me, dear Lord Jesus. Keep holding to my hand. Because, see, I know he's on the throne. I have this pet scripture that's probably bad, but I do. Scripture says, for them who are the called according to say, if you love the Lord, and I thought, Lord, do I love, I feel like I love you, Lord, but do I love you, Lord, because I want to come in and seek. I do have a problem with sometimes, Dalton Thomas trying to think, you know, how is that going to work together for my good? How is that going to work together for their good? Now, did this, how is it going to work? And yesterday, we went to this funeral of a classmate. I guess we started in the first grade together or second grade, but all our lives we was in school. And down in Lone Oaks, she was killed, and she's a year older than me. And that funeral just affected me so. And that minister got up, and he was trying to tell the family that Scripture does not lie. All things work together. Listen, look, come on, let's see, kind of work together for the good. According to his purpose, you know, if you're called, and that's one yesterday I did, I thought it again. Here comes Dalton Thomas. I thought, how in the world could that work together? And I thought, you know, all those that's been relying on her wisdom, because they different ones got up and talked about how they go to her to counsel, how she should have been a psychiatrist or a counselor, because so many people come to her for advice. And I thought, that'll make those people have to lean on God more for themselves. They won't be able to go to Sister Ann and say, Sister Ann, what do you think I should do about this? They have to go to God and think, oh, God, what is your will for my life? What should I do? And I thought about that because, see, God is still on the throne. I have no doubt in my mind he's on the throne. And I can keep going to him. I have that opportunity to keep seeking his will. And I want to find myself keep holding my hand. Please, Lord, keep holding on to my head. Don't let me fail you, Lord. Don't let me fall. Let me keep holding. I look at the situation of the world, and, I work in, like, in Kroger's and Walgreens, you know, public places, you know, and there are all these aisles, and I work in a Hallmark aisle, and I'm there, you know, 2-3 hours sometimes, and you would not believe some of the stuff I hear over that next aisle. Oh, Lord, I go clasped up my ears. I don't believe they said that. Oh, God, I wasn't supposed to hear that. Just, you would not believe this world. And I thought, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, he would have to repent for Sodom and Gomorrah if some of this stuff doesn't come to an end. And I think all this worked together for my good. And I do. And I pray that I'm not being Dalton Thomas. I thought, hearing that worked together for my good? And I think, A-L-L. I have to tell the Lord. I have to talk to the Lord. I say, all these things work together for my good. I love you, Lord. I know I love the Lord. I have no doubt that I love the Lord. And if I'm according to his purpose, all these things are going to work together for my good. Make you pray more. Make you want to keep your mind stayed on him, on his word, and keep the word so in your mind that you know, my husband talked about you got to show love to the sinner, you know, not who they are, what they are, what they do. Because I got this man, he sees, if that man see me in Walmart, if he see me in Kroger, he see me, I don't care where over the city, this dude going to come speak to me. Because he knows me from Belt, and he has a partner. And I always have to keep smiling and smiling and speaking to him. And I'm thinking in my mind, all things work together for the good. Ow! And I have to say, Lord, I'm not lying. I'm just laying my heart out to you today. I have to spell the word. A-L-L. Oh, things work together for my good. Because I love the Lord, and I hope I'm called according to his purpose. and I speak to them, and I always smile, and, you know, I'll say something like, now what are you doing over this part of town? Or something like that. You know, I got to say something. So I think to myself, maybe, just maybe, if God would deal with their hearts, you know, let them see themselves, just as Brother Painter or Brother Fisher or somebody was saying the other night, that we might be a delight or the encouragement that bring that person, a light might come on in their brain that they can see that God has an end to deal with them, to get them to turn their lives over to Christ. You know, I want to be used. I want to be a vessel that can be used for His glory. Because I believe His word. Sister Ann was telling us this morning that the theme of the meeting there in Houston, some of the brothers got up and talked on some of the same things that's been here in a little while, showing that God's spirit is blended, that we're not here just to sit on the seat. We are here to lift Him up. We each individual in this seat have a purpose. We each individual in these seats have a word. We are spirits blending together to make one in Christ. And that's my purpose. That's my goal. I want to be used in His kingdom. Hallelujah. I want to be used for the glory of God. I praise Him. I lift Him up. And I believe His word. You know all the empty pews, all the filled pews work together for our good, because God's got a purpose. I believe it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God is on His throne today, and thankful that I can, I know that, and I recognize that we have access to Him, and He's made Himself available. So it's good to know that we serving a God that we don't have to. We have access to a Bible. You know, that's if you live back in some time frame that you. If you got a hold to a Bible, you had to go to some priest or something. They get, and they probably just read it to you. You didn't have personal access. So we're very fortunate, very blessed to have this kind of opportunity that in this time frame, well, that Bible scripture said, God always strive with man. You know, I don't know how much time we do know some about the time, but you need to serve God while you can, while He's giving you that opportunity. You know, while you have the time afforded to you to serve Him, to give your life. That's what we're trying to do, is trying to give God our life. And we're learning how to do that, is to be totally, totally committed to God. That's our goal, is to be committed totally to God and allow Him to live our life. So anyway, it's good to be in the house of God today, and we're blessed. But anyway, there's Brother Philip Fisher called me yesterday and said he was sick, and he's very sick. So let's remember him. He come down with, I guess, a flu or something. But anyway, remember Brother Philip. And then we got Servo that are traveling back today from Houston. So we definitely need to keep them on our hearts and pray that God will keep His hand up on them while he travel, while they drive. And they understand that a couple of the Durham twin girls, they went with their parents, and they got sick down there. So, and I think they're still kind of sick. So let's remember them while they're trying to get back home. So anyway, Sister Lynn. Tuesday morning. Remember Sister Donna. Pray for Sister Donna. All right. Okay. Remember Sister Carolyn Mitchell in Louisville. She's in the hospital. Remember her. Her husband just got out of the hospital just a little bit ago, and now she's in the hospital. So remember them. They're going through something. What I couldn't remember this morning downstairs, the Bible study, Brother Painter was down there. He was having Bible study, and he was the statement he made, well, he's the backup to the backup. And today I was a backup. I'm still a backup to the backup, okay? So anyway, it get that way sometimes around here. So you have to be ready at all times, you know. Well, we always have backup, but then sometimes we have to have a backup for the backup. So anyway, just be ready. God may call you, you know, who knows. So, and we're blessed. Like I said, we got visitors here today. We got Gary Pierce. And Diana Rogers, good to have y'all here today, visiting us. We always invite and like to have visitors. And we are people that are trying to get more of God in our lives. We have some of God in our life, and we're trying to learn how to invite God as well, you know, learn to make things. You know, God like to dwell. I was reading in the Old Testament where God, even in the natural Jewish people, and when they was out of Egypt in the wilderness, God had order and He wanted cleanliness, and He didn't want just anything going on in the camp. You know, He wanted cleanliness, and that's kind of, we still serve that kind of God. You know, I mean, we may somebody said that we may have been heathens. Our background, but we don't have to stay heathens. You know, we can learn about God and learn about His ways. God is a God of order. He has order. He when He had the tribes, they was all in an order. He had four different, the south, east, west. Had all the camps. They were all in a camp, and they was grouped together. Of course, the ministry, the Levites, was in the middle of all the. In the middle of it, and but he had order, and he only had certain things. I was reading where even a leprous person, you know, they was considered defiled. They couldn't be kept. They couldn't be in the camp. They had to be outside the camp. You know, they didn't choose to be lepers, but they were lepers. You know, but they couldn't be in the camp. That's you think, well, God, is that a little unreasonable? But anyway, that's the kind of God. Well, God's still that way. That's what I want to say to you. God is still that way. God wants us to live. We talk about righteousness. He's a righteous God. And he wants us to learn about His righteousness. You know, our righteousness, like the Bible said, is like a filthy rag. You know, if we live in things like our way and our righteousness, but we want to learn about what is God's righteousness. We want to learn about what God thinks about it. You know, if we learn His ways is not like our ways, you know, and His thoughts. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're endeavoring to do, is try to learn more about God and more about His ways. And the Bible also said that if your ways please God, then it make even your enemies to be at peace with you. You know, God can work with us. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to live where God can work with us, where God won't be ashamed to work with us, where He don't want to have nothing to do with us. We don't want to live like that. We want to invite God in our services. We want to invite God in our lives to where God can dwell. You know, God, we sing a song that God dwells in the praises of His people, you know. We want God to dwell. You know, we're dwelling in a sense, but we want God to dwell. Not just here in this service today, but in our lives. You know, we want to live lives that God will dwell with us. He won't be embarrassed. He won't be ashamed of us. So anyway, we got things that we need to pray for. We mentioned the ones that's traveling, and Brother Fisher and Sister Donna. I know there's other people that need our prayers. Brother and Sister Crow, always we pray for them. Ma'am, I didn't hear. Yes, Brother and Sister Crow. I was thinking about Brother, of course, Brother, who that? Brother Steve Wallace, yes. Remember, he's still recovering. Slow process, you know, to get recovered from the type of surgery he had. It's just taken a long time to get healed up from that. And pretty intrusive surgery they had on him, and they did to him. So let's remember him. That's Brother Ogden. What's the name, Brother Ogden? Okay, remember, Brother Ogden's sister. Pray for her. Okay, having a flower garden show. All right. Let's pray for Brother Fred and Caleb. Yes, Sister Linda. Remember, Sister Dolores, I thought about, we was talking to Brother Bryant and even Brother Paul McGowan. You know, they drive trucks on this, in this country. They're all over the place. But anyway, God has helped them. But of course, Brother Paul was up in Minnesota. I was reading, I noticed I was supposed to be going to Houston with him, but I didn't go. But anyway, they're down in Houston. He made the trip to Minnesota back, and he's in a meeting in Houston. And I think about them, him and Brother Brian on the road traveling. It's, you know, when you think, if you got a minute or two, sometimes you think about some of these brothers that's out there on the roads, and you know how, you see it, you know how dangerous it is. I've been fortunate to be able I got a four-wheel drive vehicle I drive around here, but most of my career when I retired, I drove and went to work, you know, and always two-wheel drive, whatever I had. And then I retired, I got a four-wheel drive. That don't make sense to it. I worked at a place that, you know, you didn't make excuses. You just showed up, you know. If you didn't show up, you better make sure you was attempting to show up. They've come got me. I've had people, my boss come pick me up from home. They had a four-wheel drive. They come get me, and it was too much snow. I tried to go. I couldn't get out. I called them. I said, look, I just can't get out. I tried. I've been spinning and sliding and slipping around. And I said, I'll try one more thing. One other way I didn't try. And I tried that way, I made it. But anyway, I did that. I mean, I just did whatever I had to do, and they didn't want to hear no excuses. So anyway, God is good to us. He blessed us. One time we left Little Rock. We was going to school in Dallas. We was swapping off driving. It was my weekend of driving, and we left Little Rock. It was sleet. We got down by Texarkana, it was iced over. And normally it's about 5.5 hour drive from here to Dallas, but it took us from 5 o'clock that evening to 2 o'clock in the morning. But we got there, and went to class the next day, and the guy that lived in Dallas didn't make it. They lived there in town, they couldn't get out. But anyway, we drove all the way to Little Rock. But anyway, God is good to us, you know. And that's what I'm saying about these brothers on the road. Remember, if you think about them sometime, they're traveling around, and God will keep his hand. And I believe God does keep his hand up on his people. That's what I want to remind you. God keep his hand. Now, he may not take us out of all our troubles, but if you know that God is with you, that's the thing. So you may have trouble. You're going to have trial. We're born of Adam. He said, man, well, Job said, man is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. So you're going to have trouble, you know, and you don't know which troubles you're going to have. You don't pick them. They just happen. You just say, today this is going to be my trouble. You don't have that choice. But you know you're going to have some. So anyway, that's why we pray a lot. We always try to have a mind to have a mindset that we pray to God, seek God, because God knows about him, and nothing gonna trip him up. So we're praying to a Savior that can help us, and he does. He does help us. Like I said, that don't mean we're immune from troubles, but we just know that that God can help us. That's the thing. So we know that we can call on somebody that can help us. I'm telling you, he can help us. I'm just a witness. I'm just a witness to tell you that God can help you, and he will help you. And I'm not going to say, like I said, he don't take out all the trouble. Some troubles are good for you. Some trouble will help you if you can just get through it. But then God can help you get through it. So anyway, it's good to be one of God's children. You know, be a child of God. So anyway, we got these needs here. We're going to pray. And, yes, Sister Cindy. Wow. All right. Keep praying. Remember that, Sister Sydney's mom, a friend. The same girl got a granddaughter? Somebody else with a granddaughter that's got treatment. I'll tell you what, let's pray. We're living in that kind of world, so that it's almost like a plague. But anyway, we know that God knows about it, Brother Mike. All right, Brother Mike's mom. Pray for Sister Sandra. A year ago today, okay. Thank you, Sister Sandra, for reminding us that. Brother Al, God's been good to him. I mean, God's kept him. And and his family, let's remember them, though. Anybody else, any other requests? Ray and Susan Weaver. Pray for them. So let's go ahead and pray here and take our needs to the Lord and pray that God will help his people. And you know that pray that we, you know, as people, you know, that have, you know, when God helped you out of something or helped you with something, it's not altogether just for you. You know, it's to help somebody else. You know, we can comfort other people. You know, when somebody else is going through them, we can be a comfort to them. And that's one good thing about it. I think that's part of what it's all about, you know, is to be able to help someone else. So anyway, let's pray for these needs here today. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have, oh God, before you. I ask, Lord, that you help each one. Each need, Lord, we pray that you help. Lord, lift up each one. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. Touch those that are traveling, oh God. Keep your hand up on them, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Brother and Sister Cole, Lord, help them today. Sister Brian, Lord, bless her. Sister Donna, Lord, Brother Phil Fisher. Jesus, 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 these requests, Sister Sidney, Brother Friend, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Precious Savior, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. How about that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Well, he's still on the throne, isn't he? And I stayed in the house. He was on the throne, but I have high respect for ice and snow. I looked out, I touched some of it, I said, I ain't moving today. But he's on the throne. I thought I could be in a ditch too. I appreciate God. Well, I didn't have anything prepared this morning. Listening to the testimonies, we can all appreciate that he's on the throne. In some form in our lives, there's a deep appreciation. And we probably don't think along those channels. But listen, I just believe God's word, don't you? When you say he's on the throne, add that up. Just add it up. It's scriptural. But he also said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I've been in situations where I was just thankful that, Lord, I'm glad I'm yours. I'm thankful that your hand was on my life. Today is February the 22nd, right? A year and probably 2 weeks ago, I was just getting out of the hospital from a heart attack. And I didn't get an announcement, Doug, you're going to have a heart attack. And the night that I drove myself to the hospital, I really needed some help. And I was just looking over those things that, God, you were with me. And I thought, it's so beneficial being on God's payroll, having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I'm yours, Lord. As Brother Tyler was saying, he may not make you exempt from all your troubles and all your problems and things, but he's there. He's a wonderful shepherd, isn't he? Oh, yes, he is. Peter said about him, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Not just some of them, but all of them. Now, don't be like me. I hold some back. I think I can handle this, Lord. But he never fails me. David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver from them all. And I like talking about the Lord. I like telling people about my Savior, about my Jesus. And I just want to tell them, have you ever became acquainted with him? Job said, acquaint thyself with him and thereby live in peace. I've had some problems, but yet, above all, I've had a pretty peaceful life. In spite of all the problems that comes my way, I still trust him. I was writing a friend a letter and said, hey, hold on. Don't let go. Keep looking to the hills of salvation. David said, I'll look to the hills from whence cometh my help. I got help. I went to the doctor the other day and he said, Dub, I tell you what. From the look of your x-rays, you got another kidney stone that I need to remove. He said it hadn't moved so far, but we want to work on it before you go into some pain. And he named the things, vomiting that could happen. Those of you that had been through the kidney stone class. And I said, I tell you what, man, I'd rather stand before Judge Judy than to hear what you got to say today. I said, I'm serious, Doc. I'm serious. I said, if you're going to treat me like you did me before. Yeah, I remember. I remember Mr. Daniels back in November. But that was just one of those times. I said, it could be another time. I said, man, please don't treat me. Finally, I said, okay, I surrender. How long is it going to be, though? He said, well, you know, working with the VA and different patients, and we may be backlogged, may not be. But as soon as we find an opening, we're going to give you a call and tell you, come on up. I said, okay, is your promise still the same? Well, depending on what you're talking about. I said, last time you told me you were going to do the surgery, and I'd be back hometown to see Judge Mathis. And it ended up 2 days. I know him and that other doctor about, maybe we better get this dude out of here. So pray for me. But I was thinking, doing one of those surgeries, the doctor was telling me the things that could happen. I don't know why he did that. Tell me all about the anesthesiologist, that they have to be on the mark because I could die. Oh, man, please, doc. I said, I was encouraged. You know what I'm saying? No, you didn't discourage me. But as I lie there on that table waiting for the doctor to come in and put me to sleep, I started a song. Oh, yes. I started a song in my heart that I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Aren't you glad for this safe place today? Scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. I'm glad I found this safe place. And as we were taking prayer requests this morning, I thought, Lord, I'm glad you led me to a praying people, people that love God, people that are sincere about the Lord, sincere about their walk with Jesus. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. And I want to follow in those footsteps in the song leader's song this morning. Don't let me fail you, Lord. And I've made a lot of failures, but he's still been there for me. He still picked me up. Was it David said in Psalms that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? Keep letting him order your steps. And he'll lead you in some places and show you some great and marvelous things. He told Jeremiah. Jeremiah was locked up in prison. And he wanted to hear from God. And he got a word that, hold on, Jeremiah. I'm going to show you some great and marvelous and mighty things. I appreciate reading through the Bible, seeing where godly men trusted God. They were sincere about their Savior. Whatever the prophet come to him and told him, hey, it happened. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. We've been praying for Sister Inez Watson, Sister Donna Henderson. He's still on the throne, isn't he? Yes, he is. He's able to help us. I'm trying to get this scripture in my mind where he spoke through the prophet Isaiah. Said, God's hand is not short, neither is his ear heavy, that he can't hear us. Huh? What'd you say? But he can hear us. He hears our cry. He knows what we're made of. He knows when God's children are trusting in him. I want to go over to, is it 2 Chronicles 7 and 14? Oh, yeah. I love that scripture concerning prayer. It said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, what? He would do great and marvelous things. Yes, he would. He's healed a lot of us, and I'm one of them. I've received a healing. I've got a good friend that I worked with at General Electric for several years. And another co-worker called me the other night and told me that he was in the VA hospital with a tumor on the brain. Oh, yeah. And they're going to do it sometime next week. And I've been writing to him. I've gone to visit him. And how do you tell a person you can the wonderful things of God and what he has done for? But most people that I meet, when I tell them what God has done, they want that same thing right away. And he can do it. But I tell them, too, that I've spent time with him, talking to him, serving him, listening to his word, devoting my life to him. Some of it has taken time. If you got time to wait, was it I? No, it was they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. While you're waiting, a lot of things can happen. While you're waiting, you know, it takes patience. Yes, it does. It takes some endurance, and it takes strength. Spiritual strength sometimes to hear from the Lord and wait on the Lord for what he has for you. I'd like to be found waiting, but also doing something. James said it's not the hearer that's justified in the law of God, but the man that's found doing something. And I want to be found doing something is praying. And I often drive by this church, and I remember where God brought me from. where you brought me to. I appreciate this wonderful place. Why do you think I come here week after week? That I found life. I found a joy. I found a peace that I've never felt before. I found a happiness in serving God. When I thought I could only be happy if I had me a half a pint of Southern Comfort. It's not even on my menu anymore. Oh, no. I don't even thirst for that anymore. I appreciate the life of God that he's given me. I'm glad that he's still on the throne. I don't have to worry about that. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. God is good to us today. Let's take it to heart today, what God has done for you. I'm sure many of you here, sitting here, has so much on your heart. But search yourself. Ask yourself, what can I say to lift up this service today? We're here to lift up the wonderful name of Jesus. We've got some visitors here with us today. Brother, our order is, if you've got something to say or a testimony to give, hey, we want you to feel free. Make yourself at home. I'd like to share my testimony with you. You may not even come back anymore, but we hope that you will. I came here about 39 years ago as a visitor, and I'm still here. I found life for my soul today. I found the lover of my soul on Drug Street. Yes, I did. I was a junkie when God brought me here, and that's all I was interested in. Now I'm interested in the wonderful life that God has stored up. Oh, yes. I have not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. Far beyond this universe, the galaxies, God has something in store for those that love him today. I sit in my chair at home and I ponder, what does God have altogether? But I'm in a place where I can find out. I'm with a group of people that's studying and searching out God's word. Take one scripture, and these people will eat on it all day. What did God mean? They'll nibble on it all day. We want the hidden treasures of God in our heart. But we have to wait on that. We have to wait on it. But God is going to reveal it to a people. He's going to show a people his way. But don't let me fail you, Lord. Keep showing me the way. Isaiah 35 said, there shall be a way and a highway, and no unclean thing shall go thereon. Someone was talking about being clean. I believe it was Brother Tyler. He wants a clean people.
Yes, he does.
He wants a clean people. God has a clean people. He has a clean ministry. And he's going to show this world something. Won't you be a part of it today? Won't you share in it today, this goal that God has? I appreciate the wonderful benefits of God. But the salvation of the Lord, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Oh, yes. Paul said there's salvation in no other name except the name of Jesus today. I appreciate his love and his mercy today. I knew we were a little bit shorthanded talking about backup. I wanted to support this work today. My heart is here. And Brother Tucker used to say, if I get your heart in here, I got your pocketbook and everything else that goes along with it. So I appreciate what I found. It's good to stand before you today and just lift my voice in thanksgiving with you. And I'm hoping that the people of God will have a safe trip home, bring us back some of those good things that they received in the meeting. I wanted to go too, but my health, I needed a tune-up, really. I felt like I was running on about four cylinders. So I told the McGowan family, I said, I'm going to stay at the house this time, fellas, you know, and I may get sick way down in Houston. Just run me on by a VA hospital down now. They got my record and my ID. But I've got another ID in heaven today. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life today. Just speak his name. And he's been so wonderful and so kind to me. My prayers go out to God's people today that are going through things. Hey, we serve a God that's up all night. Don't worry about a thing. You go and lay down and rest because he's up all night. And then don't forget that he's a carpenter. He can fix anything. Let him fix your life. Let him fix you in his righteousness today. I thank God for this wonderful life that he's given me. Brother Smith often talks about how God can deal with you in your life, and he has to have a way. And often I think about, man, how did you get in this thing? Because I didn't have anybody praying for me. My family weren't Christian people. my mother had a sister that lived in Detroit, Michigan. Now, she had got hooked up with the United Pentecostal people. But, man, I don't know if she was praying. She was praying for us or not. She came to see us about every 10 years. But I and, man, YJ, a cut up like me, I got on her nerves. She went on back to Detroit. She was rough on O'Dub, man. She didn't like the way we did things. Like you, that was a lady that she had never had any children, but she had 26 cats. And I could never get that together. You ain't never had no children. But you got 26 cats. And, you know, as children at home, you know, your mother will sometimes just let certain things go. And she was a pretty tough disciplinarian. I was glad when she left, too. Because we could just, my mother would call me, Dub. And I'd been getting by with, huh? WM, can't you address your mother better than that? Yes, ma'am. Be glad when you go. So I can get back to my regular routine. Now, if she was praying for us, I got in on her ticket. But I appreciate God looking down on me, showing me mercy one day. Could still be out on the street corner somewhere, not knowing the wonderful life that God has. Hey, listen, I'm appreciative of what we have here this morning. With the weather forecast like it's been, hey, I still want to go with God, don't you? I got my snacks laid up just in case. Just in case something happens, you know, I got plenty of Cheetos, and I can make it, Brother John. But I ain't going out there if I don't have to have it. I appreciate God this morning, and may you be encouraged and lifted up in the things of God. And what do you say? Let's just be a willing vessel for what God has for us today. Appreciate his wonderful benefits. One place in the book of Psalms said he daily loadeth us with his wonderful benefits. Not just once in a while. And in Lamentation, it tells us that Lamentations 3 and 20, that his mercies are renewed each morning. And I just about need them about every morning. But I appreciate the wonderful life God has shown me. May the Lord bless all of you today.
This morning, so I'm going to try to do it, but I wanted to say too, you said something about, maybe not these exact words, but give God time, and that just has kind of sunk in since you said that. You know, give God time. We are such a instant society. We want instant gratification. We want things now, you know, but God's time is very different than our time, very different, and that's why he says wait on the Lord. Wait, be patient, you know, let him work, give him time. And I was also thinking, I don't know why I never thought of it this way before, but, you know, I've heard you give your testimony umpteen times. I remember you coming in, and that testimony, and don't ask me how I remember. I was probably Bridget's age, so that's a miracle in itself that I had that good of a memory. But I do remember, and I thought, you know, I've watched you over the years. I've seen what God did in your life. I saw you come in. I don't know some of you that just hear him tell that, but I have the visual. I remember Brother Daniels, the service that he came in. I remember that, and I have seen, you know, it's and that has been a testimony to me. I know what God did for you. It's not just your words, Brother Daniels. I saw it. And I know what he's done for me because I've given him time to work in me. I haven't, you know, because I didn't get my prayer answered immediately. Sometimes I didn't just throw in the towel, and, you know. And I'm not saying I didn't feel like it. That's not the point. He's been merciful enough to touch my mind and keep me, and I'm thankful for that. But you said these words, Brother Daniels, I'm glad I'm yours. yours. I'm glad I'm his and how he's touched me and kept me. I'm glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. I'm glad your mercy has followed me. I'm glad you found me and set me free. I'm glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. I'm glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. I'm glad your mercy has followed me.
Contacted the owner because we're renting the house, and he said, I'm sending a plumber. And it turned out to be a wonderful day because of this plumber. We got to talking, and I kept thinking what Brother Smith had said. If you find a chance, testify. Tell them about the Lord. So I asked, I was sitting in there, because I've been working on a whole bunch of pictures, like probably thousands. But anyway, I was sitting in there working, and he was in there doing his plumbing thing underneath the sink, and I kind of had him at a he's kind of like a victim, you know. Well, anyway, you have to be brave when you start testifying about God. You have to know who you're talking to. So I prayed a little bit, and it turned out to be wonderful. His mother is getting married. She's marrying a Pentecostal preacher, and this was a man, what, in his 50s probably, and his mother is in her 60s, and she's marrying. And so we became acquainted. And it was absolutely wonderful to be able to say, do you know God? And have the confidence that you do know him. And God will give you the confidence. I sat there and prayed because, as it turns out, this young man, he's young to me, he's a veteran. And he was telling some of the things that the veterans are going through. And he was telling some of the pain that he experiences every day because of some of the drugs that they have come across. He had been in Iraq, and of course, my children, all except my son Nathan, are veterans. So we had something in common because I'm a daughter of a veteran, and you know, and it was a great experience to be able to know that I know God. So take pride. I don't mean pride that you run around and brag about, but pride in yourself and know that you know God so that you can go up to a man that is telling us of some of the pain that he is going through. And we got to talking about the VA hospitals. So when you pray, include the veterans in the VA hospitals because they're going through something, and this is something that they did not ask to we have put on them. It's some of the drugs that have been put on them in the service of their country. And folks, this is our country. And let's remember it, and let's take pride that this is our country and that we have to protect our country because we don't want to live like some of the people of the world that are having to live. I don't. But anyway, this young man's name is John, wasn't it? I didn't even get his last name. It wasn't important. The important thing was that I was able, to me, that I was able to sit there and have the realization that I could tell this veteran something that would maybe make him feel. But he says there's not a day that he doesn't have pain, and it's from something that he had encountered in Iraq or in Iran, somewhere over there. So when you pray for John, and pray for his mother, because his mother is, I guess, I don't know how long she's been a widow woman, but she's marrying this preacher, and it's a Pentecostal church, and it's here in town. And I started realizing God knows exactly where we are. And I am very, very grateful to be here. And I've prayed for the kids as they're coming up the highway. And I'm glad to be here. To say that I like the snow and the ice, not really. But I've lived a long time in this. And so the only real funny thing that happened, I have a tomcat named Doofus that I've testified before. Well, we took Doofus to the door so he could go outside. I opened the door. Doofus, Nestor was staying there, and Doofus got between him and the door, and he done a complete circle as he went back to the couch. So I'm glad to be here.
I just wanted to stand up and say I praise the Lord, and every day I praise the Lord for your church here, the body of Christ. And as we talked after Bible study this morning, it was like a Bible study after the Bible study. God is revealing himself to us humans since the time of Abraham and since way back, even at Adam and Eve's time, God is trying to show his mercy. And now we've got an old covenant that the blood of animals and the blood of goats, he does not want. He wants this new covenant. Christ Jesus shed his blood for us for all times. Don't let this body of church get disrupted when God reveals a new window into his knowledge. Just like June said, it's a miracle almost to communicate with someone on your own wavelength. And as this plumber walked out the door, now understand that I'm a master of plumbing and oxygen, and I've took years. What a patience to stay out of his way and not try to tell him what to do. Stay totally out of his way. And when I was out of the earshot of June here, he said, I feel like I've been to a revival. So every chance you get, just lift up the name of this Jesus Christ, because he just gave his all. He just gave his all for us. Some people think at the Garden of Gethsemane, when he sweated blood, God knew these bad times was coming. And the people that love him is even suffering with 10 foot of snow. And some of this painfulness he knew before the wrapping up of the plan of God, that his people would be suffering. So just be tough, and every chance you get, lift up the name of Jesus Christ, because he's our only hope.
Say something up here.
Well, it's just really nice to be here, feel somewhat at home, because I hear all of you talking about veterans, praying for the veteran. I'm a Navy veteran myself, but anyway, it's, you know, the gentleman that's been up speaking, you just kind of feel that I've kind of had some similarity as far as coming up through the Navy. You've been military, but anyway, this is my first time visiting. I just feel very good, and hopefully sometime in the near future we'll come back and visit you again. Thank you.
Giving honor to Jesus and to the absent pastor, I don't think is here. All right. And to all the honorees and saints and people that are here, I feel truly honored to be here today. I thank the Lord for allowing me to be in this church today. Undoubtedly, it was destined for me to be here today. So I thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost and the power that is within this church today and in the people of God today. I'm truly thankful for that. He did not have to allow me to be here today. He did not allow me to wake up today, but I thank God for allowing me one more time to be in this church today. I was sitting on my seat as the testimonies was going forth, and I thought about 2 years ago when my daughter was in a car accident and someone had pulled out in front of her. And when she lost control of her car just rose up. If you ever watched the movie of Fast and Furious, it's kind of like that. Car just went up in the air, flipped, went down in a ditch, and into a creek. Nobody really didn't see her until some people saw that was they were doing some plumbing on a building. And when they saw the car went down in the ditch, they ran to her rescue. The car was quickly sinking down in that ditch in the water. My daughter thought let me get out of this car. But she couldn't get out because the water was rushing in, and she was about to drown. She happened to just go to the back of the car and just kept her head above to air until someone came and rescued her. I am truly thankful because I could have lost my daughter 2 years ago. But God, He fixed it where she is alive, she is well. And I thank God for that, because only the Holy Ghost power can keep you. You know, when we're not thinking about ourselves, somebody is praying for us. When we're not thinking about ourselves, somebody is praying for us. I thank the Lord for taking care of my daughter, because there's many times I get on my knees and I pray for my children. I pray for my family, because they're not here by chance. I prayed for my family. I thank God for the Holy Ghost, and that is within me. I thank Him for His holy name. Thank you for allowing me to have this moment to speak to you.
And give the Lord praise that He's so worthy of. And I was just thinking of different ones saying all the things that the Lord has done in their lives. And I was thinking, you know, like Sister Tally was saying, that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord or that are called according to His purpose. And was just thinking of the things that He's done for my children and how He's kept His hand on them. And how I pray for them. And then I was just thinking about my own life. You know, sometimes when you're raised in church, you think, or I do, you know, you think, well, there's, what kind of a testimony do I have? Because I've always been here. That does not mean that I have not had to make the choice to stay. And God has helped me through those times as well. But I thought, you know, I was thinking back, and I know I've said this before, but my mind went back to when I was 4 years old and I was attacked by a German Shepherd and I could have been killed. They thought the right side of my face was so bloodied that they thought he scratched my eyeball out and everything. He was trying to, I did not know I was supposed to do this, but I had wrapped both my hands around my neck and he was scratching at my hands, trying to get my hands away to bite my neck. And I have scars on my neck and on my face and different. And up here I have a scar where it was gashed open and had to get stitches and everything. But I remember talking to the people. We were staying with some people because my dad had went with their dad to a meeting, so our families were staying together and everything. But I remember they were all older kids telling me they didn't know if I was going to make it or not. They just thought I was. They just saw blood, just the blood, just gushing from my face, and I thought, you know, that had to be the Lord or, you know, an angel or something that was around me to know to put my hands here to keep that dog from just going after my jugular and killing me, and would not have been able to experience this life and to have my children and my grandchildren. And I'm thankful that God saw something in me that, you know, that I have always wanted to not be somebody, but I'm in this world and I wanted to make a difference in a good way, in a good way to the Lord, and to be an example of the Lord. And I know as a teenager I wasn't always in the in crowd, so to speak, in the inner circle. And some churches, well, I grew up in a big church, and some churches will have that, you know, the inner group and those on the outskirts. And I just never really felt like I fit in that. But my heart was always to serve the Lord, and I'm thankful that the Lord knew that. It didn't, and there was a lot of things going on the outside that I would try to do to fit in, just where I could. But I'm glad that God saw my heart and knew what my heart's desire was, and that was to serve Him to the best of my ability. And with His help, you know, He's kept His hand on me, and I'm still here serving the Lord, and I'm still trying just to do my best to shine my light for Him so that others can see Christ through me. Because, you know, so many times it's said that our lives may be the only Bible or the only thing of Christ that people see. And I don't want to have to speak that I'm a Christian. I want them to be able to feel the difference. Like the sister said, the Holy Ghost that's within us that could, you know, be with us and overflow out of us into others, and that they would want that difference in their life as well. And I feel like I'm just kind of skipping everywhere, but I just appreciate the Lord and just for him keeping his hand on me, and I want to do his will in my life and keep, you know, this is a daily walk, you know, and I can't make it without his help. And I want to be like the Lord, and I want to do his will. And I just appreciate each and every one here today.
Give up and give the Lord my testimony. Just this morning, you know, you wake up and you thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. And just to hear all the testimonies today, and Sister Tyler got up and started talking about all things work together. And on my way to church this morning, I kept saying, Lord, please help kill this doubt that comes up in my mind that you're not answering my prayers, or things are not going the way I think they should go. But I know if I keep praying to God, all things. And she talked about meeting somebody, the strange people that's in the world, you know, that person she didn't want to speak to, but you just say whatever came to your mind, I guess. But, you know, I'm experiencing that, so it's not easy to now doubt God when you don't see in your natural eyes what God is really doing for you. Because I know he orchestrates your life if you just live for him, whether you can see it day by day or week after week or month after month. But God is real and he's good to us every day. And I know I'm a child of God. I have the Holy Ghost, and that's what keeps me going. The power of the Holy Ghost that can touch your mind and turn your mind around and say, you know, God has always been there for you. He holds your hand. He walks with you every day. No matter what your family goes through or what they're doing, you have to trust God. I have to trust God because he's good. And he's opened many doors for me. Brother, I should be more thankful. I mean, say, Lord, help me to be thankful. Help me to be more thankful, because I know it's your grace that keeps us here. It's your grace that opens the doors. It's your grace that protects our family. I've been through that too. And my family at this church was there to make sure that my child was safe. And you know, in that experience, this lady called me and she said, I got your number at your daughter's phone, and I'm calling you to tell you that we got our hands up and we praying, and she was going and flipping. But I said, God, where's your angel? She was talking to me like that, and I didn't even know her. And we just started praying and speaking in tongues on the phone. Oh. I never met the lady. Never met her. I haven't still today never met her. And she called me back and said, how your daughter doing? She said, ain't our God good? She said, I don't even supposed to be in Little Rock. I go to church in North Little Rock. But we was hungry and we wanted something different today. She said, that's God, isn't it? I said, yeah, that's our God. So who am I to complain? Oh, God, he's been so good to us. And, you know, I haven't got up and testified in a while, but in my heart, there's joy, unspeakable joy, so deep down in my soul for the love of God. And I thank God for bringing me this way, 19-something, whatever it was. I think it was... I don't even remember me, Sister Lynette, when I came in. I probably was a little bitty thing and, you know, didn't know nothing about Holy Ghost and dancing and praising God and never knew about speaking in tongues. But see how good God is? See how good God is? You know, it's bringing me that way. Bringing me this way. It's probably how many things he has protected me from. Bringing me out of that, off of that road. You know, he is just so good like that. And I appreciate him. I appreciate this church, our ministry. You know, I can jump for joy down in my soul if I could just, you know, like David said, Lord, just encourage myself. Sometimes it's not that easy to encourage yourself, but if you read the word and you start praying or you start singing a song, he'll lift you up because he knows that you're calling on his name, and he's so good to us. He's always there. And I want you to keep praying for my daughters. You know, they all been this way, and they all have the Holy Ghost. You know, I had one daughter say, well, this is funny. Well, I don't think the church is ready for me. Oh, well, probably not. You know, but God is, you know. You know, but, you know, because God turned us around, didn't he? Brother Dan, you know, I didn't have that on my agenda, but yeah, God, he turned me around for wherever I was going. It was walking in darkness. Now I know what that was. It was walking in darkness and didn't know the Lord and didn't know his precious touch and how he loved us and how he cared for me. You know, he stopped my life and picked me up out the miry clay and turned me around and said, this is what I have for you, you know. And I accepted it, and I embraced it, you know, because I could have said, that's not for me. Let me go back over here. Because in my heart, I knew I wanted to serve God, you know, and I wanted to bring my children up. And y'all know God has worked miracles because my husband's sitting here beside me, you know, it's after 1980-something years ago. Here he is, so I don't really have nothing to complain about unless he get on my nerve, you know. You know, but I love the Lord, and I love this teaching. I love this teaching. That's what keeps me. That's what's really keeping me holding on. It's this word, this teaching that I've been eating for years and years and digesting it and eating it and chewing on it and saying, okay, I believe that. And sometimes you don't believe everything, but God can open your eyes to give you a vision to see what he's saying, you know, to you, to his people. And I just love the Lord. I just love the Lord. That's all I wanted to say. I just love God for his goodness. Oh, my God. He's good to us every day. So I'm thankful. I love the testimonies this morning. I know when I was coming to church this morning, he was dealing with me about waiting on the Lord. He said, just wait on me. Just, I'm there. You know, just wait on me. And then she gets up and we talk about waiting on God, you know. That's one of my favorite scriptures. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes. Oh, my God. I just want to praise him. I just want to praise him. Just thank you and keep praying for me and my family, you know, because I know this is a journey, and I want to stay on this journey, you know, because I know he's the Alpha and the Omega, and he is going to see me through. Whether I want to quit sometimes, but where would I go? What would I do? You know, I'm sure it's a lot of things you can do in the world, true enough. But my soul would be hungry for the things of God. I would be empty. So I'm thankful to be here today.
Tell the world.
What about dinner, brother? Check on it. While they're checking on that, we like to make sure our visitors let you know you're welcome. We have, what do you call it today? We have dinners and we have potluck. Today is potluck. So anyway, you're welcome to stay with us and eat with us. And that's two things we do around here. We serve God and we eat. Vice versa. But anyway, while they're checking on that, I was just thinking, Sister Cindy, Brother Daniel was giving his testimony. Back, this is 1982. This is before the days of cell phones, okay? So anyway, Brother Leniger was our pastor. We were having two services on Sunday, 1 o'clock and 7:30. So we got out of church at 10:30 or 10 o'clock that Sunday night. And I went to Haiti with Brother Leniger. That's what it was. This is 1982. We got out of church, 10:30, whatever, you know. And we drove all the way to Oklahoma City after church Sunday night, caught a plane. But what happened on the way, I forgot. Back in those days, to go to Haiti, now you got to have a visa and all that, passport. But anyway, back them days, all you need was a birth certificate. But I forgot my birth certificate. So I'm here on the way to Berlin. He asked me about it or something. And I said, well, I forgot it. Oh, Lord. But anyway, I called my wife to find a payphone, which you can't do nowadays. Anyway, went to a payphone, called my wife, and she, and Brother Leniger said, she can do this. She can put your birth certificate. She can go to the airport. This was like Monday morning, and put the birth certificate on the airplane, and they'll fly it to Oklahoma City, and it'll be there when we get to the airport, okay? And she did, like 6 o'clock. I don't know what it was. She could tell you. I don't know. Early morning, that Monday morning, she took my birth certificate to the airport, and it flew to Oklahoma City, okay? So anyway, we got... this is the experience I had. I mean, I'll never forget it. But anyway, we got to Oklahoma City at 4 o'clock in the morning or something. I don't know, some ungodly hour. But anyway, we got there, and Sister Leniger, you know, she fixed it. I played for me. I went to sleep for a couple hours anyway. And I woke up, I could smell the bacon cooking egg. That was a couple had drove from California that canceled with Brother Leniger. Here he is going to Haiti, and this couple was having marital problems or something. But anyway, they had driven from California somewhere. But anyway, they was waiting to cancel with Brother Leniger. Brother William and Sister William were there. Brother William went to Haiti with us, you know. And she had driven him to Oklahoma City. So they were all in the house, you know, and I could smell the bacon. Anyway, so it was just a mad dash at Brother Leniger's house, you know, getting organized, getting to the airport, almost missing the plane. I mean, it was just, you know, ripping and running. You know, he's doing all this canceling and talking to people, and we was trying to get to the airport. The plane was supposed to leave at 11, and then the airline we was flying was like Eastern or something. It's not even in business anymore, okay? Don't look for it. But anyway, she sent the birth certificate on some other airline, so it was something else. I don't know what it was. But anyway, it was Sister Leniger. While we was in line trying to get our tickets, you know, nowadays you got your tickets on the computer, and you don't have to go through all that. But anyway, we had to get in line to get our tickets. And then my Sister Leniger went over, whatever this other airline was, she went over there and got the birth certificate. I mean, it was just like everything was just touch and go, you know, just barely enough time to do this and that. But anyway, we got it done. Got the birth certificate, got on a plane, and to Haiti. We flew to Haiti. This, like I said, it's 1982, anyway, it was just it was an experience I'll never forget. Brother Leniger, he's Russian, and he somehow misplaced his birth certificate on the way back, and you had to go through customs in Haiti and Port-au-Prince to get out of there, and he couldn't find his birth certificate. But he had misplaced it in one of his suit pockets or something. But anyway, we went through that kind of struggle there for a little while, but we got through that. So anyway, and we get to Miami. We stopped in Miami for a little bit of layover. They ready? How many? 10 or 15? 15, okay. I ain't gonna talk that long. Somebody got to help me. But anyway, we get to Miami, And we had four hour layover, but Leninger rented a car. Now we got four or five. We rented a car, and we drove to Biscayne Bay, which is the little place out from Miami, off the coast, off the water there a little bit. He wanted seafood, so anyway, he rented his car. And we went to Biscayne Bay and had this nice seafood restaurant. And here we, with Brother Leninger, he's so busy until you hardly had time. I had all this time, you know, to talk to Brother Leninger, and I couldn't hardly think of anything, any questions, big questions to ask him, you know. And I, you know, in other time you just a little bit between services or maybe out to eat, maybe something, you might have a little bit of time to ask Brother Leninger a question. But here I had hours. You know, I did talk to him some, but I mean, I felt like, man, I could ask him all kind of questions. I could just go through whatever doctrine I want to go through with him, but I couldn't think of hardly anything. Anything hardly, you know. But anyway, it was a great experience. And I do remember they had over there at this time, just like I said, 1982, Brother Joseph was still living, and these seven Haitian brothers that Brother Nick Gruitt left, that he worked with in Haiti, they were all living. Brother Alberry, Brother Grosses, and, you know, I can't think of all of their names, but anyway, they was in a meeting with Brother Leninger, and I think maybe Brother Wigan up in Brother Joseph had his all church office, they called it the upper room, and they was having a meeting up in his church office, and we was in a minister, it was a minister's meeting, and they was having a meeting at the church, and this was I call it the lesser eagles, whatever you want. But anyway, but it was ministers, they were Haitian men. It was only me and one other brother from America in this meeting. And they were discussing. I thought, wow. You know, they were discussing. I tell you what scripture they were talking about. It's in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, 7:26. And it talks about the woman is like bands and snares. And he that escaped her, I may quote it, but anyway, I thought, what in the world? Why are they talking about this? You know, and it was a heavy discussion. This wasn't even Brother Leninger, not Brother Joseph, not these brothers. It was just, I said lesser eagles. They were ministers, but they were very studious, and they was interpreting for us Americans, and I was flabbergasted at the discussion that was going on, that was taking place in this meeting, and knew this smaller men, you know, they weren't the high power men that you're used to. But anyway, I was impressed at the knowledge and the discussion that went on with these men, and I never forget it. I never forget it. And I know I probably heard ministers talk about this scripture, but I know, you know, it's talking about the false church. But anyway, look it up, but I won't look it up. But anyway, I was very impressed with the discussion among these men and that whole trip. And we got back to Oklahoma City, and of course I had to catch the old Greyhound bus back in them days to get home. But it was all right too. And then it got cold. This was in December, and we had had a tornado here in Little Rock. It was like December 2nd. It blew over this church. They told me about it. The school was going on, and they could hear it. It went over the church, hit Barrel Road, knocked out the top of the church over here out on 430, knocked the roof off of it, and it just did quite a bit of damage. It didn't hurt this church, but the school was going on. And they could hear it. It went over this building. But they had. Then after that, it got cold and snowed, and we got here. I had to borrow Buzzy. Let me have his coat, cause I didn't have no coat. I just left. You know, it was warm. We left here, but when we got back, brother, it was cold here in Little Rock, and he gave me his coat to wear back over here. Now, you know, I was just so blessed with that experience, just to travel with Brother Leninger at this trip, to see God, you know, like I say, back in the day, we didn't have a cell phone. The last conversation I had with my wife was when I called and told about the birth certificate. I don't know if I ever talked to her again. And we was gone a week, you know. That ain't heard of nowadays, is it? You know, she didn't know whether I was all right or living or nothing. I'm gone, you know, Haiti. We never, you know, she couldn't call me. But nowadays, you can't get two blocks down the street hollering, you know, somebody, where are you? What are you doing? You know, but we was gone for a week, man. We was, and nobody, you know, of course, we was all right, you know, and everything was fine. I may have called them when we got to Oklahoma City to tell them we was coming. I guess I did. I don't know. Somehow. But no cell phone, so I didn't do that. So anyway, I don't know what we did. But anyway, it, something worked out. But anyway, if you, you know, to have lived through some of these changes in the world, and you look back at it and you think, what? And something you talk to some of the kids, and they'll say, what? There's no cell phone? You know, no cell phone, okay? You didn't have them, okay? They did have mobile phones and cars, okay? A few people had those. But mostly it was businesses and whatever, you know. You could have. I heard Brother Painter talk about him having one when his mom was over in France. I think that's where she was. He had a mobile phone somewhere in his car. But anyway, few people had phones and mobile phones. Everything was wired, you know. You have to have wire to it. But anyway, I'm just showing you this. I experienced that. And it was a good experience. You know, I mean, it was just like I won't forget it. I won't trade for it, okay? I won't trade nothing for it. Any experience you have with God, and that's a good part about it, being, you know, serving God. And this is part of the work of God. And I was, you know, blessed to be with Brother Leniger, and the only time I went to Haiti with Brother Leniger, but I did go one time with Brother Tucker. It wasn't quite the same experience. The bad thing about that one was when we got, he preached on this when he got home, but anyway, we was taxiing off in the airport at Haiti in Port-au-Prince leaving, and the president of the country called and had the plane, the pilot, to turn the plane around and go back to the terminal. And we found out later that it was some public relation guy, some PR guy, needed to get on that plane to get to Miami. But it messed everybody up. It messed the schedules up. We got to Miami. Brother Tucker was supposed to go to St. Louis, from St. Louis to Little Rock, and it was a mess. I mean, it was, and we was so happened we was on our way. We didn't come straight to Little Rock. We went to the Bahamas. We went to Brother Martin's place. So we weren't really coming home. So it didn't mess us up too bad. They paid for our meal that night. But anyway, other than that, but it was a struggle. I mean, he preached on that because he is a scripture. And Psalms talks about great men are not always wise. And there's he was talking about men just because they're in high positions, that don't mean that they have wisdom. But anyway, it messed up his brother Tucker, Brother LaFleur. Who else was on that plane? Somebody else. But anyway, who? Wickerson. But anyway, it was, you know, that's one little distraction or interruption that has messed up their schedule. And I think he finally got a flight into St. Louis or something. But anyway, it was bad. They did what? But it was a mess. I mean, but that was an experience with Brother Tucker. I'll never forget it. You know, he take things in stride, and he finds a message in the things that happen. That's what I was seeing. I wish I could think of that scripture he preached on after he got back, but he always found a message. He gets something out of these experiences that they may be bad, but he get a message out of it, and he can preach it and say, you know, and get something out of it. And I think in life we should be able to get something, like we were talking about today, you know, this service. You know, things that happen, all things work together for the good. And then out of bad experiences, there's always something good. That's what this man yesterday was talking about. You know, we all have bad experiences, but there can be something good out of it. That's what we got to do. We got to find the good and the bad that happened to us. And that, and you have to look for it, though. You know, it's not obvious sometimes. It's not obvious that you find the good. But there is some good. There's something good about it that's in this. You know, sometimes things happen to us. It may just be good for us. And sometimes it's some, like, different one, you know, saying that. You hear every now and then you hear about some bad experience, like a plane crash, and somebody say, we were supposed to be on that plane. Something happened. They couldn't get some mix-up in the tickets or something, but they missed the plane, and it crashed. Now, them the ones you want to miss, okay? You know, they didn't get on it for whatever reason. They didn't get that plane. You hear that. I'm sure you hear all these different things, testimony people give. And they were supposed to have been on that plane, too. and they were supposed to have been there at that place. And sometime, like our sister saying that she, you know, was Sister Rochelle. I remember that Sister Rochelle visiting. That was Denisha. Yeah, she, down here at 4:30, had a bad accident, car accident. And later wasn't supposed to be there. But anyway, that's, you know, that's why we have to have faith in God and trust God and try to, you know, live our lives to where, you know, we're walking with God. And what we're doing, find God's will. That's what I'm trying to find. Find God's will in our lives. So when we're somewhere, you might say, well, why am I here? Why am I doing this? And it may be God might have you there. You know, God may have you there for a reason. So anyway, and that's what we want to do. We want to be sensitive to God and to be able to hear his voice, you know, have ears sensitive enough to hear God's voice when he talks. That's what we want to do. We want to be sensitive to God and to his spirit, to be able to hear God when he speaks. You know, he may speak loud and he may speak low, you know, but we want to be able to pick it up, you know, when he speaks, you know, however it happens. You know, we want to be sensitive enough to hear the voice of God. So anyway, what I do, a 5-minute talk. I had one time I was in college, and it was a speech class. And speaking was not my bag, okay? And we had to write, everybody had to write a 5-minute speech. And I did. But I don't remember. It seemed like I talked. It wasn't quite 5 minutes, but it was. I mean, I thought, man, it's got to be 5 minutes, but it wasn't. But anyway, I'm not a talker. So, but anyway, God is good to us. By the way, if you hadn't heard, there will not be a night service tonight. So, you know, I don't know what y'all do to prepare for that. But anyway, mentally maybe. But anyway, no night service tonight. Okay, so, sir. Bad weather is expected. What was it, Brother Mike? What was it at? But anyway, 6 o'clock. Yeah. Of course, now, this is weather, people, okay? You know how that, you remember last Thursday night? That's why I'm not in Houston, because of the weather, people, okay? They say we're supposed to get ice Friday morning. Starting Thursday night, you look at the map of Arkansas. This was pink, blue, pink. You know, they had all the colors of ice, snow. You know, the whole state, you know, had something going on. You know, freezing rain, sleet, snow. Okay, whole state, you know, can miss it. What happened? They missed it. We woke up Friday morning. Which, I mean, I'm not disappointed in. You know, nobody want ice, but you know, I've canceled my plans to be in Houston, you know, and but anyway. So how we doing, Brother Jerry? I mean, how about, are we ready to go, what I'm saying? A couple of minutes. We can handle that. We can visit. We're visitors. We can visit for 2 minutes. So let's stand in front of. Pardon me? Remember all our needs, Brother Philip Fisher. I hope he's recovering, doing good. The people that is traveling, from Houston, pray for them. Pray that God will show them mercy and different ones that we mentioned earlier. So let's pray that God will help them, be with them. Lord, we thank you this day.
Yes.
Ask, Lord, that you help us.
Thank you.
Precious
you.
Lord,
mercy.
Lord, go with your people.
Love and kindness.
Oh, God, help each one. Be with those that are traveling, O Lord. Oh, God, help them and keep their hand upon them. Brother Phil, Brother Stewart, Lord, help them. Brother and Sister Crone, Sister Brian, Lord, help them. Oh, Jesus, Lord, touch each need. Spoken and unspoken requests, Lord. Precious Savior, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.